tribute and along with the family celebrate a very special life. Well, there will be a graveside committal service immediately following the service, and you are also free to stay back, and lunch will be served right after the service. So it's not like you would have to wait around for the family to come back. You can fellowship and have a lunch immediately following, and we should be back in about 25 minutes from the graveyard. But again, on behalf of the family, welcome, and it's great to have you here. I'm going to ask Ed Friesen to come and lead us in singing the first song. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, one of Bob's favorite hymns.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms, what a blessedness, what a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting. Oh, how sweet to walk in the pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Let us bow in prayer together. Thank you for the assurance, Father. You have not left us alone. Thank you that you told the prophet of old that underneath us are your everlasting arms. So thank you for holding us up today. And I pray especially for the family. Lord, that you will sustain them in their grief. They will have the freedom in their heart. We reach out in worship and praise to you. It's for a very wonderful dad, a very wonderful grandpa, great grandpa, one who is an awesome husband to be. So thank you, Lord, for all that we can celebrate. Thank you that you are present. And just give us the freedom, Lord, just to freely express our grief and our gratitude for what you have given to us and who we have also received to yourself. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's always meaningful when someone from the family can take part. And one of the granddaughters, Randy Knutson, is going to come and share some scripture reading with us. And we can do that with us now, Randy, please.
Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. A reading from Thessalonians. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of man who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. A reading from Peter. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, or greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul.
Thank you, Andy, for very appropriate scriptures. We're going to ask one of our members of our church, Andrew Everill, to come up and sing a special song, How Great Thou Art, and another one of Bob's favorite songs, and then we're going to call on Stan immediately following, if you just want to come up after him and pay tribute to your friend and colleague. And so, after Andrew, Stan. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross
my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow with humble adoration, and dare proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
On behalf of Bob's family, I'd like to extend my greetings for all of those that know Bob and Bea and the rest of the family, and Sherry and Candace and the young lady that gave us the scripture reading, Randy. I first met Bob in 1972 in an interview at this center in Clarisome here, and it was rather interesting. During the interview, we had a Scottish executive director, and he said to Bob in the interview, he said, "Robert, what are your drinking habits?" And Bob looked at him and he said, "Well," he said, "I have coffee in the morning," and he said, "I drink the odd glass of milk, but you know that other stuff," he said, "I don't touch it." And we got a laugh out of it. So anyway, Bob started work with us very shortly, and he was a character to speak of, I'll tell you. He was a very fussy, high standards kind of guy because of his military background. So we probably had the cleanest kitchen in southern Alberta, because he even had a mirror on a piece of bamboo so he could look underneath the stoves to make sure the young guys cleaned it properly. But he was always a challenge for some of the young fellows that worked with us, because as you can see, there was a set of boxing gloves out there, and if any of them stepped out of line, Bob said that if any one of you fellas wants a little tap, he said, "I'm available." But one morning I came to work, and I said, "Smith," I used to call him Captain Bob, and I said, "I've got one ticket left in this book," and I was selling tickets for the Shrine Lions, and Bob said, "Well," he said, "that's gambling." He said, I don't participate in gambling." And I said, "Well," I said, "I'll tell you what,
I said, if the dear Lord's going to strike you down, I said, I'll buy the ticket for you. And then you could pay me back when you win. And he won $50,000. So he did pay me my $2. But Bob was a guy that had a lot of humor, and he was a bit of a jokester too. And I remember one time he asked a couple of young fellows, we had two boxes of empty strawberry baskets sitting on the table, and of course they had prepared the strawberries, but the baskets were sitting there in the cases. And one of the fellows said, well, what should we do with these? And Bob said, well, we're a little short of strawberries. So he said, I wonder if you two fellows could go and walk along the railroad track and pick these up till they're right full and then bring them back. So these two fellows left and came back about 3 hours later and never found any strawberries. And Bob said to him, well, he said, don't worry about it, fellas. He said, the robins get up early in the morning. I guess they beat you to them. But, you know, over the years, we had a lot of great times at the center, and Bob was always played the role of a teetotaler, and we had a staff party out at Flying Inn. That was when Gene Hoare was running the Flying Inn out here at the airport, and anyway, we were sitting there having dinner, and I said to Bob, I said, hey, Bob, I said, a lot of the ladies here are drinking some wine. I said, would you like some baby duck? And he said, no. He said, I'm having roast beef. You know, so he'd never want to participate in anything that had liquor in it. But we went on a vacation one time, and we stopped in Salt Lake City at the Mormon Temple. And we parked the trailer and the truck in the parking lot, and I said to Bob, I said, well, we might as well go and have a look at this. This is quite famous, you know. So we walked in there, and there was a fellow there that everybody worked part-time, and he was a Mercedes-Benz salesman, and he welcomed all of us in. And I said to him, I said, well, where does that stairway go? And he said, well, he said, that's the stairway to heaven. And I said, well, do you mind if we take a walk up there? Well, he said, no. He said, that's reserved for special people. And I said, well, you know, R.J. Smith here, Robert H. A. Smith, I said, could be related to the great Jedediah Smith. I said, that was the founder of your church. So I said, you know, I said, surely the God, I said, Bob could get a little privilege. And the guy unhooked the rope and took us up the steps. And away we went. And we had a peek at the top of the staircase, and it was quite impressive. But Bob was always a type of fellow that would help anybody in need. If there was a fence to be built or a house to be painted or any hard work that had to be done, Bob was there. It didn't matter whether it was at work. He was always helping someone or helping somebody in the community or in the neighborhood. And those are the things that we remember people by, is how they contribute and how they interact with us, and the fellowship that they bring, you know, to not only the family, but also to the family within the community. And, you know, Bob had a stint as a military person for a number of years and worked in Fort Qu'Appelle. And he was a fantastic cook, too. He was a great chef. And I know that a lot of people enjoyed many of the meals that he prepared at the center. And his contribution there was much appreciated. And it's hard to find people today that can make those kinds of contributions. So I would say that he was a very good friend, a very interesting character, and he was a lot of fun to be around, and it was a joy working with him for all those years. And, Bob, you know, at 91, he lived life to his fullest. He worked very hard, and be sadly missed, but it's a celebration of life, and those are the memories that we remember him by most. And, it's, I would say, a good type of atmosphere to depart with Bob, and I'm sure that he'll be resting the rest of places. Thank you.
Thank you, Stan. I just have one question for you. Did you ever get a tap from Bob? He's not going to say it. Ed's going to lead us another song farther along. It's an old gospel song. Couldn't find it in the hymn books anywhere, but I did find it in an old gospel book somewhere. We did find the words and the music. I know the song pretty well by memory, but we still had a look to find it. Apparently, this was maybe his favorite song that Bob used to play on his harmonica. It's one of those gospel tunes that that plays well with certain instruments. And so this was one of his favorite songs to play on his harmonica. We're going to sing that now.
Would you stand, please, except for the family be seated. More than the drive, we're off made to wander. Why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Farther along we'll know all about it, farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Faithful till death, said our loving master. A few more days to labor and wait. Toils of the road will then seem as nothing as we sweep through the beautiful gate. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by.
You may be seated.
I was thinking just this morning about how long people live. I remember as a little kid, my grandpa died in the 60s, and I thought he was an old man. And last year I said goodbye to my dad, and he's almost 97, and he wasn't even that old. It's amazing how your perspective changes when you yourself are aging. Moses said in Psalm 90, he said, the length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have strength. So teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. 80 if you're extra blessed. Well, your dad was 91. The average life expectancy for a male in Canada is 78.89 years. So he lived well beyond expectation. And even then it was too soon, right? And once you have a dad, you always want a dad. So your dad was blessed with years. He was blessed with something else. And I know we mentioned that when Darlene and Sherry were in my office. It's not just the years in your life. It's the life in your years that count. What do you do with the years? What do you do with the life that you have? And what is important that we make life count. And along with King David in Psalm 16, verse 6, use a family can say, surely, I have a delightful heritage. You look back and would you want it any other way? How thankful for what you were given, who you were given. Well, I was raised on a farm and took the opportunity to enlist in the Army during World War II. And I think he was given some options what he could do, and he decided that he got trained as a cook there, and he might be able to do that for the rest of his life. And so he chose the cooking route in the Army, and he was in the base with about 1,200 people on base. And so he was a needed man, as he made a lot of meals for a lot of people. After 33 months on the base, and as the war came to the end, someone there suggested maybe he try for a position at the sanatorium just outside of Fort Capel. He applied and was accepted. And so from 1946 to 1971, he had his career there as a cook. But what's more important is that's where he met the love of his life. He had gone there to work as well. And as in so many cases back then, maybe if your dad was a farmer, he would send his kids off somewhere to make some work or find work and make money so they could send the money home to subsidize the farm. That's why Dee was there. She was there to make money for the farm, send the money home. And there the two met, and they were married on February 26, 1948 at Knox United Church in Regina. And this last February 26 was their 65th wedding anniversary. So you're certainly blessed with a long married life. We saw an ad in the Post, in the Regina Post, for a position here in Claresville. Applied for it, and as we know, he got it. And from 72 to 1986, and thank you, Stan, for sharing some of your insights, memories. Bob's pride and joy were her two daughters. I understand that whenever they were around, if they stood in line in a store, he would always say to the clerk, I want to introduce to you my two wonderful daughters, Darlene and Sherry. And he was so proud always to introduce his daughters wherever he went. Or if they sat down in a restaurant and the server came, he would say, I'd like to introduce to you my two daughters, Darlene and Sherry. So, you were his pride and joy. And something that you look back and know that we did Daddy proud. He was very proud of us. Someone has said that a father is respected because he gives his children leadership. Appreciated because he gives his children care. Valued because he gives his children time, and loved because he gives his children the one thing they treasure most, himself. You've been blessed to have had a dad all your life. There has never been a moment in your life you didn't go through something. Your dad wasn't there if he was needed. This is your first major incident in your life where he's not here. He's always been there for you. And as his family grew, his pride grew. unfortunately, his grandson, Darren, his wife, and their three kids are in Virginia, couldn't come out for today's celebration of life. It's great to have Randy and Candace here to enjoy the celebration together. It's great. As a family, you will recall the many times your dad took you to air shows, starting at Moose Jaw. You'd half melt in the pavement out in that hot sun. And probably wondering, when is this thing ever going to be over? As the sun was beating down on you. But now they're all memories to smile at. Those winter memories when Dad would clear the snow on Echo Lake on Saturday afternoon so you could skate on Saturday afternoon or evening on Sunday. I'm sure in your mind you'd often hear your dad play an instrument. That recall button, you can just press it any time. You can just picture your dad playing, singing, playing guitar or harmonica. The memories you made when you lived at Fort Capel area, and your mom played accordion, your Aunt Ida would come and bring an instrument, and you'd haul out all your spoons, and some of us are old enough to know what that is, as you would play spoons, and the whole family just had one big sing-along. And it seems like half of Saskatchewan grew up that way, making music and singing. It seems like a lot of groups come out of Saskatchewan. And your dad was known for his harmonica. He entered at a Clare's Home Music Festival and took first place with his harmonica. Then he went to Foremost, entered again, and he got second place. I think we saw a check for $75 posted there, and that was his prize money for coming in second at Foremost. They loved traveling to Regina to hear the Stamps Quartet, Blackwood Brothers, when they would come to Regina and bring on concerts. So obviously music was a huge part of your parents' lives. They joined the community choir pretty well from its beginning, and John knew Bob well, and it is fitting that John be the pianist today. John played for him when he would do special numbers with a harmonica, and John would accompany him on the piano. And so, and John has some stories to tell about Bob as well, and some of his whistling and some of the different things that he would do. And then there is that very unique gift that he got. Getting $50,000 in 1973 was a lot of money. And that probably gave him the freedom to buy that Ford truck, that 73 Ford truck, and to buy that Mustang. I don't know, was it what, 71 Mustang, something like that? And also gave him freedom to sell some different campers till he got that Triple E motorhome and enjoy his little mini camping trips, going to BC to get fruit. Stop in Kimberley to the Accordion Festival. Just the freedom that it gave him. I remember someone saying that money doesn't buy happiness, but it does buy freedom. And it gave him some freedom to enjoy some things that just allowed him to be an overgrown kid and enjoy himself. And belonging to the Porcupine Hills Classic Cruiser Car Club, and that was very special to him. Having coffee at A&W, at Dairy Queen, he loved to socialize. These are all talents and blessings that were given by God. Listen to what God has to say about when we are blessed. It says, command those who are rich in this present world, and that includes all of us. I've been to Africa a number of times, and believe me, I come back here, and there are no poor people here. You don't see poor people, you go somewhere else. There's a few destitute people, but by and large, all of us fall in the realm of rich. All of us. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Two thoughts jumped out at me as I was looking at that last night. One is, everything for our enjoyment. And God blessed your dad with some very special talents and opportunities to enjoy things, to enjoy some of the good things of life. He was blessed. And we don't need to be embarrassed or ashamed about that. It's great to be blessed. And the Word of God says we are to enjoy everything. This is, but put your trust in God. Enjoy things. Put your trust in God. Put your hope in God. And so behind all the activities we've mentioned was something else that was growing and building in his life. It started when he met your mom, who was a devout follower of the Lord. And together they got involved in the Alliance Church at Fort Capel. And I understand your dad helped physically build the first Alliance Church in Fort Capel, where they sort of became a part of that fellowship. I don't know at what point in life he personally gave his heart to Christ. But I do know another thing that I can say, because the records are in our office. At the age of 71, November 29, 1992, your dad was baptized in this church. And the pastor at that time was Pastor Art Lemon. And so we have those records. And so we know that somewhere as he went through life, he came to that point where he felt he had to publicly testify that something else was growing in his heart and his life. And it was his desire to know and follow Christ. There's someone else who had an encounter with the Lord, who wrote about it, and gave us a little bit of insight to give us some direction about how to approach it. What do you do with it? And it is Paul, the writer to the letter of the letter Philippians. And when he said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." When you find Christ, when you follow Christ, you find a new purpose for living. If I were to say, "For me to live is," I left a blank, what would you put in? What would I put in? If I am faced with this one-liner, "For me to live is," then there's a blank. What am I living for? And what are you living for? Some years ago, if you would have asked Michael Jordan, he would have said, "Oh, for me to live is basketball." You would have asked Mark McGwire, he would have said, "Oh, for me to live is hitting home runs." If you would have asked Bill Gates, he said, "For me to live is Microsoft." We all have these things, these goals, these purposes in life. But they tend to be short. Suddenly, you're no longer a basketball player. Suddenly, you're no longer a ball player. Suddenly, you no longer own Microsoft. Suddenly, things change all the time. There's one thing that need not change: living for an eternal purpose. And your dad discovered his eternal purpose. "For me to live is Christ." And then it says, "And to die is gain." To die is gain. We all have a driving force in life, something that drives us. Here are the five most common drives of people today: guilt, resentment, fear, materialism, and the need for approval. Generally speaking, the law of averages says every one of us would fit to one of those categories. That's a driving force in your life. But fortunately, there can be another driving force that can overtake it all and become our primary driving force. That is to know Christ and to make him known. So I can say, "For me to live is Christ." And when I find my life purpose, I find my eternal purpose. It simplifies my life. It defines what I do and what I don't do. It gives meaning to life. It gives me a reason why I get up in the morning. It focuses my life. It helps me concentrate on what's important. It motivates my life because it produces passion and energy. Who am I living for? commitment for Christ. And most importantly, it prepares me for eternity. So I can say, to die is gain. Someone in defining a Christian has said that a Christian is one whose thoughts are filled with the mind of Christ, whose heart is filled with the love of Christ, whose lips are filled with the words of Christ, and whose hands are filled with service for Christ. When we come to know the Lord and open our heart and say yes to Jesus and accept His forgiveness on the cross, I find a new purpose in living, an eternal purpose, to know Him, to make Him known, to serve Him, to enjoy Him, to glorify Him. But what does it mean to die is gain? I came across Alexander McLaren, a great British preacher who gave this insight. He says, how can death be gain for anyone? And he points out three things. And he says, first of all, we lose everything we don't need. We lose the world, the flesh, the devil. We lose our trials, our troubles, our tears, our fears, and our weaknesses. We lose it all. And secondly, he says, we keep what really matters, our personality, our identity, and our knowledge of all that is good. And then thirdly, he says, and we gain what we never had before. Heaven, God's people, angels, the presence of God, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ Himself. It's all gain. And death becomes that vehicle by which we gain all that God has for us on the other side in heaven. And when we have that purpose, then no matter what happens, we can say, I'm okay. I have no other agenda. I just want to live for His glory. This is what God has for me. I will take that. I will live with it till that takes me to God's eternal home. There is another person who went through a very severe trial that happened some time ago. His name is Horatio Spafford. He was a well-known attorney in Chicago. And in 1871, in that great Chicago fire, he basically lost his fortune. Top that off, that year his 4-year-old son also died of scarlet fever. He drowned his sorrows by trying to work to restore some of the housing and etc. the 100,000 people had lost in Chicago. And he thought, you know, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to go to Europe and just get away from it all for a while. So he bought tickets for his wife and his 4 daughters and himself to take a luxury liner to Wales, just to get away for a holiday. Just before they left, an urgent matter held him back in New York, and he couldn't go. So he sent his wife and his 4 daughters, put them on the boat, and bid them farewell. He said, I will meet you, I will greet you soon. I'll be in Wales in a couple of weeks. After blessing them, praying with them, sending them off, waving goodbye, he went about to go back to his duties. What he wasn't aware of is as the ship took off across the ocean to Wales, it ran into a big storm. And in the small hours on November 22nd, 1873, that ship hit another boat, another vessel, and within a couple of hours sunk to the bottom. And in those 226 fatalities, that included his girls, Maggie, Tanetta, and Annie, and Bessie. Fortunately, his wife was able to hang on to some debris, and it was one of the 47 that was rescued. But when they finally got to Wales, she sent a cable to him, which read, saved alone. And he knew right away, I lost my entire family. I lost my girls. Well, immediately he booked a passage to go to Wales to meet with his wife. And as they were crossing the ocean, at one point, the captain called to him and said, I just want you to know we are right now crossing over where your four girls just went down. They are underneath us, way down to bottom somewhere. And Spafford, overcome with emotion and grief, went to his room, couldn't sleep. Still a lot of thinking and praying, and came to the conclusion, it is well. God's will has been done. It is well with my soul. I'm okay. I'll make it. God is in control. And as he thought about that, he started to write some words. Those words are now the words of a well-known hymn that is sung in the church today. It is well with my soul. And that song reflects that we can go through the deepest times, but when I live for Christ and to die is gain, I have nothing to lose. Then I know, regardless of what I'm going through, I'm okay. It is well. What a wonderful way to go through life. What a wonderful way to face eternity, just to know. God's will has been done. I'm okay. It is well with my soul. And so, in closing, both for the family and for all of us, we're just going to just take a few minutes just to sit back and listen to John as he plays that well-known tune, It Is Well With My Soul. And as he does, I think we're just going to have some words on the that will show. So for some of us, if you don't remember what the words are, we'll have the words on the wall just so you can see the words and just draw in the meaning of this great old hymn that was sung in the church. And John will just play that for us. So let us just take time to reflect and worship as we listen to the song, It Is Well With My Soul. Let us stand as we come before God in prayer and bring this part of our worship to a close. Let's call on the Lord together. Dear God, thank you that you have come to be a father to us. You have not left the family fatherless. You are their eternal Father. In your grace, you gave them an earthly father. For many years, we give you our thanks. Our thoughts go out to thee today. Minister to her spirit, her mind, her soul, her well-being. May she sense your nearness today and be strengthened. I pray rich comfort for Darlene, for Sherry, Mario, Candace, Randy, Corey. Darren and Jody and Virginia, all the great-grandchildren. Lord, thank you for the many precious memories we have, and the memories that will continue to linger, and the values that have been passed on that can be lived out by the family. Thank you that at some point you opened Bob's eyes and heart for him to realize his need for a Savior. That he would say yes to Jesus who had come to pay his price on the cross for his sins. Lord, that he said yes and said, for me to live as Christ, I receive that forgiveness. I receive that eternal life. Thank you that he's not gone, he's just gone ahead, very much alive in the presence of our Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the hope for the family to be reunited again with their dad. Father, cause us all, with all of our hearts, that we too may have that witness within each one of us to say, when I think about eternity, when I think about my walk with Christ, it is well with my soul. In Jesus' name we pray.